Labor Day deals are looking good at Lowe's. Save $10 on 1 gallon cans and $50 on 5 gallon pails of select interior paint via rebate. Plus, get two 2.5 quart or 3 quart Mums for just $8. A fresh look and savings? Even better. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Mum sizes vary by location and exclude Alaska and Hawaii. See store at Lowe's.com for more details.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Buster Murdaugh is in his late 20s. His mother is dead. His brother is dead. His father murdered both of them and is serving two consecutive life sentences for doing it. And he still carries the name. So here's a question, and this isn't really a question about Buster. It's a question for anyone who's ever tried to escape a family shadow. What do you do now? Do you change your name? Move somewhere nobody knows you? Spend the rest of your life explaining to every new person you meet that you're not like them? You're different? The family's sins aren't yours? Or do you accept that the name is part of you, that you can't outrun it, you can't pretend it away, you can't escape the fact that when people hear Murdaugh, they think of murder, and try to figure out what it means to carry it honestly? If you've ever felt defined by something you didn't choose, a family reputation, a parent's mistakes, a legacy you inherited but never asked for, this is your question too. And as we go through this, I'd love to get your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. This is the fifth part in our series about the Murdaughs, about Alec, about narcissistic control, coercive control, and all of that. Please do weigh in. Love to see that there. Links are in the description. I'm not going to pretend there's an easy answer here, because there isn't. The Murdaugh name is ruined, not diminished, not tarnished. Ruined. The law firm that operated for over a century has dissolved. The property, the hunting land, the houses, the boats, the being liquidated to pay victims. The century of power and influence and protection, the dynasty that stretched back to the 1920s, it's done. And the damage doesn't stop with Alec's conviction. That's not how this works. The wreckage ripples outward. Gloria Satterfield's sons, Tony and Brian, they lost their mother in 2018. Then they spent 3 years believing a settlement was coming that Alec had already stolen. When the truth finally came out, they had to relive the grief all over again, not just losing her, but learning how completely they'd been betrayed by someone that they trusted. They've received partial restitution now. Some of the money has been recovered, but you can't pull a dollar amount or put a dollar amount, really, on what it does to a person to learn that the man who stood at your mother's funeral, who looked you in the eye and promised to take care of you, was already calculating how to rob you blind. That's not something you get over. That's something you carry. Mallory Beach's family lost a 19-year-old daughter to a boat crash that never should have happened. Then had to spend years fighting a system that seemed determined to protect the people responsible. They had to watch Paul Murdaugh walk free, unbound, while their daughter stayed dead. They had to keep pushing when everyone around them seemed to want the whole thing to just go away. They've reached civil settlements now. The Murdaugh estate, the boat manufacturer, the store that sold the alcohol to the miners. Money has changed hands. But Renee Beach still doesn't have her daughter. She still has to live in a community where the Murdaugh name meant protection for a century, where her fight for accountability made her enemies. There's no settlement that fixes that. There's no verdict that brings Mallory back. Every client Alec stole from, every family that trusted him, with their settlement money, their insurance payout, the compensation that was supposed to help them rebuild after tragedy, they're all living with what he did. Some of them may recover some of the money through the receivership process. Most of them will never be made whole. And all of them have to live with the knowledge that the person they trusted, the lawyer who was supposed to be on their side, saw them as marks. That's what the aftermath looks like. Not clean resolution, not justice served and everyone moving on, just wreckage. Spreading out from the center, touching everyone connected to it. Impossible to fully repair. And the people left holding that wreckage didn't all choose to be there. Buster Murdoch grew up inside the system. He benefited from the name, the money, the connections. He was part of the machine, even if he didn't know what the machine was really doing. Now he's facing the weight of that name. The weight of the name that opens no doors anymore, only closes them. And allegations from the internet. People accusing him of this, accusing him of that. It's insane. And I don't know what Buster knew, and I'm not accusing him of anything. I think he's just as much a victim in this as anyone else. But I do know this. Even as he's going through all of this and continuing to try and live his life, he has to figure out who he is when everything he believed about his family was a lie. He has to look in the mirror and see the face of someone whose name now means something he never asked it to mean. That's not simple. There's no playbook for that. There's a temptation when a monster is exposed to say that the people around them should have known, should have seen, should have done something. But Maggie Murdoch was killed by her husband. Paul Murdoch was killed by his father. They lived inside the system. They benefited from it. They were shaped by it. And they were destroyed by it. They're not villains. They're not heroes. They're something more complicated. People who were both complicit in the family mythology and victimized by it. People who carried the name and were crushed under its weight. That's what makes this story so hard to process. The Murdoch case isn't a simple tale of good versus evil. It's a story about systems, family systems, community systems, institutional systems that protect some people at the expense of others. And almost everyone in the story is both complicit and victimized to varying degrees. If you grew up with a family with secrets, and most of us did to one degree or another, you know the impossible position it puts you in. You can see the dysfunction, but you're inside it. You benefit from the privilege, even as you're damaged by the lies. You love people who do terrible things. You carry a name that means something you didn't choose. How do you separate yourself from that? How do you take the parts of your family that are good, the love, the belonging, the history that shaped you, and leave behind the parts that are poison? I don't know. I don't think anyone fully knows. It's the work of a lifetime for a lot of people. Here's what the research on generational trauma tells us. Patterns repeat until someone breaks them. But breaking them isn't a single decision. It's not a moment of clarity where you suddenly see the truth and walk away clean. It's daily. It's exhausting. It's catching yourself mid-sentence, realizing you sound exactly like the person you swore you'd never become. It's noticing the same dynamics playing out in your own relationships and having to consciously choose differently. It's grieving the family you wished you had while accepting the one you actually got. Some people escape. They do the work. They build different lives. They raise their children with different values. They prove that the inheritance isn't destiny. Others don't. They repeat what they learn. They pass the patterns down. They become the next generation of the problem. The difference isn't talent or intelligence or even awareness. It's willingness to sit in discomfort, to feel the grief and the anger and the shame without numbing it, without running, without pretending you're fine when you're not. That's the work. And it never really ends. What I do know is this. The first step is seeing clearly. Not making excuses for the people who hurt you. Not pretending the dysfunction was normal. Not telling yourself the story your family wants you to tell. Just seeing it, naming it. Understanding how it worked. And what it ultimately cost. That's what our series this week has been trying to do. Not just tell you what Alec Murdaugh did. You can get that from any news article. But to help you see the patterns, the generational pressure that creates people who believe they're above the rules. The covert narcissism that hides behind charm. The system of silence that lets abuse continue. The collapse that happens when control is finally lost. These patterns aren't unique to the Murdaughs. They repeat in families that never make the news, in communities that never face investigations, in systems that never get exposed. If you recognize something in this series, something in your own family, your own community, your own experience, that recognition is the point. Not so you can diagnose your relatives as narcissists. Not so you can predict who's going to commit crimes. Although have fun doing that. I mean, but so you can see the dynamics for what they are. Name them. Understand how they work. Because the first step in breaking a pattern is seeing it. And sometimes it takes someone else's story. A story more extreme than yours, with consequences more dramatic, to help you see what's been right in front of you all along. The Murdaugh name meant something for 100 years. It meant power, protection, immunity, the ability to make problems disappear. Now it means something else. It means murder, fraud, betrayal, the collapse of a dynasty built on lies. What your family's name means, what you make it mean, is still being written. That part's up to you. You can't choose your family. You can't erase the history you were born into. You can't pretend the dysfunction didn't happen or didn't shape you. But you can choose what you carry forward, what patterns you break, what truths you tell, instead of the comfortable lies your family taught you. The inheritance isn't destiny. It's a starting point. What you build from here, that's your choice. That's always been your choice. Your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube and Substack. Love to hear your story, your experiences. The links are in the description. HiddenKillers.substack.com. You can join us there right now, absolutely free. There is no paywall. And be sure to take us with you wherever you get podcasts on the go. Just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi and press subscribe. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever it is. Join us. All right. Until next time, my name is Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something, but I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public would be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too. Because where you get your information matters.